tweet at TodaySOR.
The government has asked RTE to defer its decision to move Lyric FM from its offices in Limerick. In the Dáil yesterday, the Taoiseach said any decision to move the radio station should be deferred pending the outcome of a new commission on the future of Irish public service broadcasting, due to report back by next autumn. In a statement, RTE has said it will give full consideration and respond in the coming days to the government's proposal. Now, I am joined on the line by Patrick O'Donovan, Minister of State for Public Procurement, Open Government and E-Government, also, of course, Fine Gael TD for Limerick County, who's been very critical of RTE's plans to close the Lyric studios and split the station's output between Cork and Dublin as a cost-cutting measure. Are you pleased at the idea that Lyric is not going to be taken out of Limerick, at least in the short term?
Well, good morning, Sean. Thanks for having me on. I think the Taoiseach's intervention yesterday where he asked RTE to consider this is good because, the government are very anxious that the public service as a whole, and that includes our semi-state companies, would have a far bigger regional output than they have at the moment. And Lyric was the first example of RTE really, I suppose, stepping outside Dublin by putting a base in a place like Limerick, and has a big commitment.
I think the people of Cork might have a different view of that. I mean, we've been there for a very long time.
Well, specifically in relation to something very specific, which in this case is classical music. And, Lyric has had a base there, and during my criticism of RTE's decision to do it, it was very obvious that one of the main motives for their decision was that the lease had ran out in the building, which really was, a very kind of a lazy approach to moving Lyric, and the amount of money that was going to be saved was, in the overall scheme of things, in terms of RTE's restructuring, which is needed, was very small. So look, they're going to wait to consider it. They've said that they will obviously respond. Hopefully they'll respond positively, and hopefully we can get on with talking about a more important thing, which I've been saying for a number of years as a backbencher in the last Dáil and in this Dáil as well, which is a look really at what we want in the future in terms of public service broadcast in Ireland.
Yes, but just as a matter of interest, I mean, this commission that's to report back by the autumn, if that were to recommend a consolidation of RTE to fewer sites, would it still be the government position that RTE must stay in Limerick?
No, it's not a government decision that the RTE stays anywhere. RTE is an independent entity, and RTE doesn't, we're not going to dictate any terms to RTE. But RTE have, a big ask of the government and a big ask of the taxpayer, a big ask of the state in terms of the licence fee revenue. And we're anxious as a government to set out policy that our semi-state companies and our public bodies and agencies would have regional presence. And if we're going to see a situation where one of the first elements of regionalisation is sucked back into Dublin and Cork, as you quite rightly pointed out, that to me wouldn't exactly herald a new era of regional development from a semi-state company.
Yes. On the other hand, I gather, for instance, that there was a very serious study done on the idea of moving Lyric out to the UL campus there, just on the edge of Limerick City. Apparently, it would have cost €1 million to relocate. You can't do these things if you don't have the resources.
No, and I mean, the University of Limerick story broke in the Limerick Leader, and they were, anxious to point out that rather than bringing it back into Dublin, that there was an alternative. And these alternatives have been looked at as well in institutes of technologies for smaller studios. But the Lyric one, there's already the infrastructure there. I mean, for anybody that's been down there, it's, in my estimation, probably underutilised in terms of the national broadcaster. And I think there's greater potential, not just in terms of Lyric, but in terms of RTE's entire output, that they would look at that studio, because that studio has, a range of facilities that are probably better than some of the facilities that are available in Dublin and indeed in Cork.
Well, having used them, I think you may very well be right, Minister. Now, can I ask you just about something that the Director General said? Not for the first time, Dee Forbes said, look, 44 cent a day is what the licence fee amounts to. Would you accept her contention that it's good value?
Well, I mean, it depends on how you value, and it depends on whether you use the service or not. And I think one of the things that's, quite alarming is that if you look at the stats, I mean, in terms of people that are over 65, half of them get their news output from television, and another 20% there or thereabouts from radio. But if you look at the 18 to 24 category, the numbers are really, really worrying, where 6% there or thereabouts are getting their output from radio, and 71% are getting it from social media. So what's the future in terms of the value, in terms of that 44 cent? In the current context, you have to say that value is depleting.
a lot of that social media presumably would draw on the RTE website and the various digital platforms that we use, or social media that we serve. And again, there's no charge. It's free, freely available to people. But in regard to this commission, what do you expect it will do?
Well, what I expect it to do is that for the previous Dáil that I was in, I mean, I banged away at this with several ministers for communications. There is no definition as to what public service broadcast is. I mean, public service broadcast is very glibly, you know, referred to in legislation as that which is put out by RT and TG Cahir. We need to actually front up and say that there's a totally different landscape now in terms of broadcasting across the country at a national and local and regional level. And in terms of, you know, asking people into the future, if we are going to change the licence fee, change the name of it, increase the cost of it, well, then what are we getting for it? And who gets it?
Yeah,
at the moment,
mean,
93% of it goes to RTE and they can compete for the remaining 7%. That's hardly fair.
Well, I mean, I suppose first and foremost, and I don't mean to be glib about this, Minister, you could Google public service broadcasting and you could come across some pretty good definitions of it, like the idea that you, you know, deliver an impartial, reliable, comprehensive service to the people that's not driven by profit, that is fair, that is available and open to minorities, that, you know, holds up a mirror to society. That's possibly another cliche. Whereas private broadcasters, they can broadcast whatever they want. That's as long as it's within their means and within the law.
Absolutely, but in that Google definition, definition isn't enshrined in legislation. And under the legislation that's there, and you know this as well, from the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland, there are certain parameters in which other radio stations and other television stations must operate in terms of actually acquiring and maintaining and continue to have their licence. So, I mean, we have to be all-encompassing here as a government. We have to reflect the fact that, you know, there are a lot of people around the country, even in Dublin, who derive their public service broadcast. In other words, who get their information and their entertainment, their sport, and that stuff that you referred to there in Google from other platforms.
Yes, but I mean... And fundamentally, sorry to cut across you, Minister, it can be summed up in the word values, and impartiality and independence are key to public service broadcasting.
Absolutely.
I mean, as a reporter, as a presenter, over the years, I have felt perfectly comfortable in subjecting various DGs, be it Cathal Gowan or Bob Collins, to some pretty serious questioning in a way that I don't think I could possibly think I would be able to do on an independent station or a commercial station without naming any names.
And nobody's saying that that isn't the case. And in fairness, yesterday, and it has to be repeated again today, you know, the government and people in general, across the political spectrum, value the work that RTE do, particularly in an investigative point of view and in a probing point of view like what you're doing now. But there are other stations that if they had access to the fund that we're talking about increasing and restructuring, then part of their requirement under licence would have to be to do that. I mean, the Commission is saying that, you know, part of their remit is to inform, educate and entertain the Irish public with matters regarding Irish culture, identity, sport, language and other matters. So this is the sort of thing that the Commission are looking at. The Commission may very well come back and say, you know, the status quo is the status quo. But for once and for all, I'm glad to see a situation where an independent commission, outside of government, outside of the department, outside of the people whom you might say have a vested interest, are going to go away and say, what in 2020 and for up to 2030 should be the definition of public service broadcasting in Ireland? And it certainly is a very different definition to that was laid out in 1966.
Well, and you mentioned about inform, educate and entertain. I mean, that goes way back further to the beginning of the last century when Lord Reid set it out at the launch of the BBC. It's a pretty good definition, you could say, even to this day. But look, there's another issue, again, and you touched on it there, the licence fee and the collection of it. Now, again, you can say that, look, you know, 11% of households say they don't use the traditional media that require the imposition of the licence. And then the suggestion was floated that there should be a household charge to pay for this public service, irrespective of how you consume it, because a lot of people, they get the benefit of RTE and other channels on their iPads or other media. But the government has effectively run away from that. It's kicked it into the middle distance by saying, we look at it in 5 years' time. Why?
No, we haven't. I think, like, in fairness, there's no point in enacting and finishing off the legislation in relation to this to be enabled unless you know what the Commission is actually going to come back with. And, you know, from my point of view, the 12% that are not paying at the moment, that needs to be reduced. It needs to be reduced substantially. In the UK, they've managed to reduce it to 7%. It's quite a lot of money when you look at it in terms of what can actually be brought in. You know, if you reduce that number to the stage where we want it, it could be anything up to an extra €15 million that are brought into the pot. So the licence fee collection situation at the moment isn't satisfactory. Everybody accepts that.
No, well, that's, however, you're talking about evasion there. I mean, non-users is another issue.
It is, yes, but I mean, the first thing that you have to decide is, you know, the evasion stat is far too high. And, you know, we have challenged on post, and on post need to be challenged. They're about €16 million themselves for collecting it. It's not an insignificant amount of money, and I don't think that they'd want to lose it either. But something has to be upped here in terms of the game to try and get more money in by the licence fee, because it's not sustainable at the moment. It has increased by €10 million. It's gone from €179 million to €189 million in a period of 2013 to 2018, which at the very same time, coincidentally, RTE's commercial revenue has flatlined at €150 million. So, I mean, in the time that they on post were managing table to get the licence fee up by €10 million, commercial revenue by RTE remained the same.
Yeah,
but
I suppose
they also got additional money from the state by virtue of, you know, which is also going to be the same money that we're going to be able to give this time from social protection.
Yeah, but hold on, that's not additional money. That's the restoration of money that Joan Burton took away when she was the minister at a time of great stringency.
Yeah,
that's a reversal of cuts. That's not new money.
But, Sean, you could say that in relation to every element of public spending that had to be slashed from 2008 to 2011 when the country imploded on itself.
Oh, I'm not saying it shouldn't have been taken away, and I'm not saying that people around here at a higher level than the one I'm sitting at now aren't extremely glad to see it coming.
Yeah, but the point I'm making is that it is new money because it's been built into the revised estimate for the Department of Social Protection, so it has to be found. So it is new money from the Exchequer point of view. And I know our team might be saying, actually, this is what we got before. From the state's point of view and the taxpayers' point of view, this is new money because, you know, we don't operate on the basis of the 2008 figure. We operate on the basis of the figure for 2019 and 2020. So for us, it is new money. But it has to be given. We accept that. It's €50 million over 5 years. And we've built that into the base now. But in parallel, you know, as taxpayers, whatever about being in government, it is legitimate to ask the question, well, why has the commercial income for a company so big and so important as RTE remained static during a period of economic growth?
Fair question. Maybe Dee Forbes would like to come in and talk to us about that too and other topics at some future date. What about the idea of RTE? And the government said yesterday, look, please don't take any decisions about selling further chunks of the campus here in Donnybrook until a proper study, because doing it piecemeal might not be a good idea. Well, what's your own view on that, Minister?
I think it should be open, and I think it should be on the table. I think it's a very valuable site, and expressing a totally personal opinion, this is one of the most lucrative sites in the country, probably the most lucrative site in the country with the address it has. And I know that RTE have, they have long-term restructuring needs that they're going to go through. It should be on the table, and I don't think that they should be fixed to where they broadcast from. You know, they're a national broadcaster. That means that, you know, they could go to another part of Dublin. Or, God forbid, they might even go to some place like Limerick. So they shouldn't be fixed in their
location.
There's
a whole industry built up in the audiovisual sector in Galway, for instance, as well.
I mean, my view is that they shouldn't be fixed on the location, and they should examine it to see what they could realise from it. Ironically, they sold a part of it before for housing, and I identified it at the time that the shareholder, namely the Minister for Communications, should have and could have looked at the issue in relation to housing there and a certain proportion of it being held back for specific housing needs. So definitely I think that it should be on the table.
Yeah, and the government got €21 million, that's not free either, in capital gains tax from the part of it that was sold, not the 9 acres, in the last couple of years.
And Sean, if you look at it, the €21 million that we got, we get that from every piece of real estate that should be sold, but RTE are after getting it back. So, I mean, it swings around about.
Now, the government, I think, has had sight of more details that are in the RTE recovery plan than maybe the general public or indeed the members of the committee in the Dáil yesterday and Seanad. Have you seen it in all its detail, Minister? Are you satisfied that it is sufficient Do you have confidence in the leadership in RTE?
Well, I haven't seen it, and actually watching the committee yesterday, I think that was where an awful lot of frustration built up from some of the deputies and senators that were there when the Director General came in and was answering questions about restructuring without providing the details. And I could see there was a frustration there, and I think, you know, the sooner that maybe detail is given, you know, to greater level, the better, because, you know, the Oireachtas are going to be the people ultimately that will make monies available from the Exchequer to the company. Do I have confidence in the leadership? I'd like to see a greater level commercial revenue, to be quite honest about it. I think the flatlining of the commercial revenue is something that has to be questioned and is something that has to be challenged in a growing economy, in an economy that has, you know, really begun to explode in terms of its growth rates in the last number of years, with commercial advertising back to levels that it was before. And I appreciate that, you know, the platforms have changed, and especially the online platform has changed. But I was on another RTE programme following on from the Director General in the not-too-distant past, where she herself flagged that their online presence isn't where it should be. Now, the growth in the online presence isn't something that has happened today or yesterday, Sean. It is disappointing that the Director General would have to admit that. So that we need to see a plan that
Well, I suppose admitting your deficiencies isn't a bad place to start.
It isn't, but admitting your deficiencies and making it somebody else's responsibility to unplug the hole is disappointing, to put it mildly, from my point of view and a personal point of view as a viewer and as a citizen. So I would like to see, as part of this restructuring, as part of where they want to go into the future, I'd like to see, well, where is the RTE online presence going to be?
Right.
And how do they want to grow it? Bearing in mind that only 6% of the people 18 to 25 are listening to me and you at the moment.
And, well, I suppose most of them would be in school, you'd like to think, or in college, I should say. Now, just one other question. On the expenditure side, is there anything else that you think should be addressed?
I think everything needs to be on the table, Sean, and I think that, you know, there's the suggestion that 200 people are going to lose their jobs, and that's obviously something that I would have concern over, because they're people that are listening to this at the moment, and they're people that are, you know, concerned for their future, naturally. But I think that everything has to be on the table, and I don't think there should be any, you know, sacred cows that you can't talk about in terms of RTE. I've already mentioned the relocation. I think that's definitely something that the management and oversight in RTE need to consider.
Though they say they did look at that, and in regard to the costs of building new studios somewhere else of the calibre that are there, I know a lot of them have to be upgraded and so forth, but the sums did not stack up. That's what they said recently.
Yeah, I'd like to see that, to be honest about it, because if you look at the site, the size of it, the attractiveness of it. I mean, the last time it was looked at, you mightn't have had the demand for sites that you have at the moment, and I think it's something that should be looked at. But I think there should be nothing beyond questioning, and I think, you know, as well as that, I know that the 200 employees are there, they're talking about reductions in people's salaries. I don't think that there could be anything that really should be excluded from this. But what I will say is that it is absolutely vital for us as citizens that there's a strong RTE into the future that can challenge the likes of me and governments and other people and continue the investigative work that's there, because there's no doubt about it, as you said a while ago, the investigative and independent role of RTE has to be protected.
Yeah, because
and if we're going to give that licence fee element to other people, then they have to rise to the same bar.
The Timmy Dooley, the Fianna Fáil, well, his former spokesperson on broadcasting, he tweeted last evening saying that the cabinet decision is the thin end of the wedge of government interference in the independence of RTE. Not quite sure exactly what he's referring to there, but perhaps it's the Lyric decision.
Well, I think that's rubbish, to be quite honest about it, because, I mean, I'm listening to Fianna Fáil at every turn of the road saying that we need to, in inverted commas, reform the licensee. When you ask them what does reform of the licensee mean, they won't give you an answer, because what they want, on one hand, is they want the RTE protected in its current guise, but they won't tell you where it's coming from, where the money's coming from. We've committed 50 million euros at the moment that's coming out of a revised estimate that's new money through the Department of Social Protection. We're not committing to any increase in the licence fee until we see what the future of broadcasting is. So we've laid our cards on the table in relation to what we expect from RTE and what we expect from the Commission. A tweet saying this is a tin end of the wedge, that's not a policy statement. To me, that's just rubbish.
Minister, thank you so much indeed for joining us. That's Patrick O'Donovan there, Minister of State for Public Procurement, Open Government and E-Government, also Fine Gael TD for Limerick County. Minister, thank you.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.